I'd like to begin by offering definitions of the situation at hand. Poet Radio is signal in static, is the sound of words unraveling. Poet Radio is hum of a transistor at dusk, is a whisper between frequencies. Poet Radio is a pirate transmission of soul, is echo of a dream in the dark. Poet Radio is static that speaks in verse, is the needle skipping on a vinyl heart. Poet Radio is the moonlight humming broken, is heartbeat of unseen cities. Poet Radio is the wind reciting forgotten names, is a dial turned toward the infinite. Poet Radio is poetry caught in a frequency storm, is a revolution whispered on FM waves. Poet Radio is where silence finds its voice, is a fever dream of syllables. Poet Radio is a confession sent out to the stars, is the music between the words. Poet Radio is the voice inside an empty room, is the sound of ink bleeding into sound. Poet Radio is the breath between stanzas, is the revolution of rhythm. Poet Radio is a lantern flickering in ether, is a frequency lost in translation. Poet Radio is hum of paper and pulse, is a sonnet played on loop. Poet Radio is a radio tower made of metaphors, is a pirate signal of poetic resistance. Poet Radio is a heartbeat trapped in a microphone, is breath waiting to be told. Poet Radio is the sound of ink dripping onto silence, is a rogue wave of spoken rebellion. Poet Radio is the lull of language between signals, is a temple of unfinished verses. Poet Radio is murmur of poets long gone, is the specter of lost frequencies. Poet Radio is the echo of an unseen city, is the voice of the wandering. Poet Radio is a chant broadcast into the void, is static and silence. And Poet Radio is wind singing, is the pulse of a city unheard. Poet Radio is a frequency of longing, is a ship of sound and syllables. Poet Radio is a moon speaking in haiku, is a lost poem calling home. Poet Radio is the voice of ink on paper, is a rhythm no static can drown. Poet Radio is a crackle of the forgotten, is the song of an unbroken line. Poet Radio is where words come alive, is the pulse of the unsaid. Poet Radio is the soundtrack of the in-between, is a heartbeat skipping on air. Poet Radio is set to the rhythm of rain, is the place where echoes find their home. Poet Radio is the hum of a universe, is a secret hymn to the stars. Poet Radio is the electricity of unspoken verse, is a constellation of broken lines. Poet Radio is a cassette tape left on repeat, is a voice inside. Poet Radio is where words become wings, is the whisper of the page turning. Poet Radio is the glow before dawn, is the echo of a poet's last breath. Poet Radio is the dance of syllables on air, is the murmur of ink before it dries. Poet Radio is the beat of footsteps, is memory carried on waves. Poet Radio is the whisper of yesterday's dreams, is breath and bone and sound. Poet Radio is the place where silence speaks, is the poetry of an unseen world. Poet Radio is a secret station of wandering souls, is a lost signal found. Poet Radio is a mixtape of whispered dreams, is a song of ink unraveling. Poet Radio is a love poem broadcast to the void, is the rhythm of a restless night. Poet Radio is a shortwave message from another life, is an old record spinning in the dark. Poet Radio is the soft crackle of forgotten verses, is caught in a breeze. Poet Radio is the hum of a poem before it is born, is a lighthouse beaming on lyric waves. Poet Radio is a cipher of love coded in sound, is echo of a whispered manifesto. Poet Radio is an ancient song carried on wind, is the poetry of echoes. Poet Radio is the revolution of voices unheard, is the hum of a heart rewiring itself. Poet Radio is a city's unspoken anthem, is the static of dreams forming. Poet Radio is the ghost frequency of lost poets, is the poetry of spaces between words. Poet Radio is the hum of hymn of midnight wanderers, is the conversation between silence and sound. Poet Radio is a frequency humming with unspoken love, is a signal that refuses to fade. Poet Radio is the sound of ink turning into light, is the poetry of electricity. Poet Radio is a song that evening understands, is the place of dreamers. Poet Radio is the glow of syllables on the horizon, is music of words unchained. Poet Radio is the sound of memory unfolding, is a signal from the deep heart of time. Poet Radio is the poetry of shadows and neon, is the voice of silence singing, is the echo of the infinite. Greetings, everybody, and indeed you are in tune to Poet Radio. This is the March 2025 edition. My name is Chris Funkhauser, host of the program on WGXC since 2015. And tonight's episode or edition or broadcast is a little bit different in that I've recently been absorbed in a move, bringing my family to Columbia County. So this is a little bit of a different episode, as I like to do sometimes. I guess it's not an episode, but if it was a podcast, it would be. We started the program off with a sort of surprising byproduct of a confluence of things that are happening. And this is defining the space of multiple spaces of Poet Radio here on the air, with a soundtrack provided by musical ensemble known as Most Serene Congress, who will be making an appearance also at the end of the program tonight. But in the meantime, I'm going to broadcast the entirety of a couple of short poetry readings I was able to attend last week in Tivoli, and this is at the Tivoli Artist Gallery, and an exhibition that's up there now features the visual artworks of a couple of poets who are friends of this program, George Quasha and Chuck Stein. So I moseyed on down there and recorded this event, and here's a set of Preverbs by George Quasha.
Yeah, I just want to actually say that since she brought up the subject of Preverbs, I've been doing them for 24 years, and this is a kind of special moment for me because Benjamin Boritz is here. And Chuck and I gave a reading in the early 2000s, like 2003, 4, something like that, at St. Mark's in New York, and Ben was actually at that reading. And I was really nervous because I thought that I had finally created a poetic form that couldn't be read to people. And so I tried an experimental way of reading that night that I don't do anymore that way. I mean, I did it for a while, but people seemed to be okay with it. So I had a whole new view, thanks to Ben and a couple of other people who said pleasant things about it. So thank you, Ben. And just how long we've been hanging out together. Right. And so I'm not going to say anything about Preverbs. They're impossible to define, but they're the opposite of Proverbs. That's a good way to think about it. They're contrary to Proverbs. They're not the opposite. They're contrary. And I have a whole rap about contrary. So actually, I'm also going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to read from the series I'm actually writing right now. I usually prefer to read from books or something I've had around for a while, but in honor of Ben and his presence, and his music is so important to me that I'm really glad we're doing something together. So this series is called, there are 7 series in a book, and a series usually has been having 34 poems, but for this book I've shifted to 23 poems in the series. And this is the first series of a book I'm just beginning. It's called Speaking with More Than One Body. 1. Sign sings. I bring you my own impersona daimonial, never to be mine, linguality for the occasion. This is highly approximate, to be exact in truth. It means every word. Its nature is, it means to mean you. Proof is, there's a dance no one knows, nor can shake, down deep. As if there is only one tune. And there is one. Nor can stop listening to it hard, as if to drown out fear. Time is what is lived in. It's a kind of drowning, and the dream of escape running right along. This is the weave in the peeve. We're here striving in the absence of the picture, wishing. This is where we came in while the reel's running and dreaded inescapable feeling. It knows you're its mission. And now you know what's not. Blank space, pen to paper, it tortures to release the view. It saves itself, calling for its image. Magic in the torque, turning on itself, tells taller. Appearing to appear is distraction, mastering its magus, never not knowing better. What just happened? is the cry of Wilding in the blank. By the sound of it, you know you've been crossed over. Two, eating through. A picture on the ways, in the way, all day. Clearly it's time to go forward with what we don't have. We're too good at not standing failure. Self-denial is hardly selfless. I'm seeing myself in history. Well, not seeing history, seeing me. Wrong ways still both ways at once. Emptiness cites power ever unknown. Any new intelligence is anciently on and off, on and off. I subvert getting done. Half-gones don't make a right. Half-holding back, the golden bull heads high. Stitching and unstitching's off to be taught in the sky. We're seeing carved out, dying to figure outward. What eats through perfect alters perfection. All the better to say you with. No stopping watching the thing thinking itself up. A song to take no listeners. Seeing it breathe, it lives. Three, squeeze the day. My inner child is still out playing. I know this in bent tones on loan, while anciently known. Feeling true hangs on your every bound bounding, bending. How big's a life flash caught in a flex? The voice turns true on a rhyme in time. Don't mind me, I'm out in seeing by the syllable. Spoken particles can bubble in sheer metal. Syntax taxes spirit in place of gain. Mother tongue hiccups and a true you flies free. Suddenly, where you think you want to get is pushing back. Repeat only what you can't say in the first place. I hear me saying this under my breath for no good reason. It turns out a relic of its own immediacy. Thinking work has a place in the future, like the past frames the unknown. Based on reports, floating mushrooms are rarely noticed. It finds it necessary to talk like this, unaccountably listening. I never know what to tell me anymore, at long last. What part of waking sleepwalks wider aforehand? Some questions take me by the rote and squeeze clean. It looks harder than it turns out to the touch. Four, Fallen Flare. An epigraph by Antononymous, who's a character that's been invading my work for the last, 30, 40 years. I can't remember when it even started. But he says a lot of stuff. And here's one thing he says. The eye seeing your ills, seeing itself, flies free. A new day, fleshly doubts, the world is there. Fortunately, I detect a wobble in my reality distinction. Clearly, the all I know masks the all I don't. I write it until it's not. My pronoun flails, and self is the whole. I verge on to surge in. It thinks itself up, and it thinks itself down, only to get you down. I'm back. Brightness stalls in the air. As for identity, this is only as experimental as I am on a good day. The image takeaway is not here to stay. I know it all given. I know it all given that it's not saying. The world is dying in my arms again. It's the need to get through, getting through. Anything seen in place is an echo to come. Antonanma says, this is a friendly reminder not to lose track of your bhakti. It's no excuse that I'm cutting down on aggression, regression. Can't help anticipating the picture as if our death depends on it. Insanity's not hearing what everything is saying. The flare flows from for to from. Thank you.
George Quasher reading in Tivoli last week. This is at an event that was part of an installation, as I said, an art installation at the Tivoli Artist Gallery, curated by Linda Cassidy. And in addition to George reading, Charles Stein, Chuck, did a short set, which you're about to hear. There's also some music presented, recordings of Ben Boritz, and an artist talk by Victoria Vestna. So let's get on here to, I should say the title of the show is Variable Matrix, and it features a lot of fine local artists. Onward we go. Here is Chuck Stein reading last week in Tivoli on WGXC Poet Radio.
Yeah, I'm going to see if it's possible for me to read with this mask, and if it's, I can tell that the sound is not so clear here. What if, I mean, I'll just talk like this to the mask and through here. Okay. It's better. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would improvise the Odyssey for you, but it would, in order to not to offend the ancient Greeks, I certainly wouldn't read it in ancient Greek, but in order to not to offend, etc. So what I'm going to do is read a couple of what sound to me like kind of like normal poetry. That is to say, they begin saying something and come to an end, as opposed to poetry which is continuous with things falling on the floor.
It's a theme tonight,
Chuck. Good. Okay, so I'm going to read some so-called normal poems, a couple of them, and then I'm going to read one normal poem that's a few pages long, and then I'm going to go into something which is parallel to George's Preverbs, but with, you get to decide about what. The only thing that's common is that they're in little brief sections that continuous with each other and attract each other across the field. So anyway, so the first one is called Nothing. Take the damn thing out of your mouth, said Miles to Coltrane, when the latter complained that the music wouldn't stop, it's coming on. The sound of music is the last thing on your mind. the road or lead it courses along has been there all along, the sound extending itself as if the very signal were the time it's thrown down along. Can, of course, be broken off suddenly. Just lift your finger from the piano key. Stop blowing across the transverse whistle hole, and the music stops with unmediated alacrity. When your parent dies, the chair you never knew you were sitting on is pulled right out from under you. What remains is all of you that there had ever been. Poppies. Pop up all over the place, hence the name, in June or July, whenever they do. My mother came out of the house and said, "Look, the poppies," as if she'd never planted them and they just popped out of the blue. So mother's magic was in what wasn't telling you the how of it, as at about that same age, we all wanted to skip steps. Wild horses, without governance other than themselves. Pull no wagon, preen for no equestrian, owe no loyalty to lawman, cowgirl, cowboy, cavalry, brave, or God. Wild, wild horses. Would have no interest in pulling you away from the lust be driven energies they themselves, more properly, romping in the blood are image of. Leave them be to run with the blue Kabbalahs of releasement, not only achieved practitioner, but all of being in such release relieved. We were sitting in a circle and passing the smudge stick around so each might expound in an orderly manner. And as each talked, our listening itself became an intimate resource, inflected into being and vanishing without ceremony when the talking that comprised one, albeit the talking of the other, but you get it, there is no other talking under the smudge stick umbrella, only talking. Okay, I'm now going to read the middle one I talked about, I mean the last one that has short pieces, and it's called Imago Mundi, Mango Chutney. If you do score, tell me. If you're absent, don't. Later we can settle up. The next event prepares us for what must have already been. Eliminate payment and return to sender. Cruel neutrality, or healingly so. Causality never blushes. Indeterminacy never winces. Never nurse another's never. You cannot abandon your own full spoon. Never trace your own device or second guess a grand illusion. Real grapes, black foxes. At the end of every broom, one apostle. Even if you think they don't exist, still you follow after. You have filled a small notebook with tricky, if nevertheless cannily stone-closed analogons that only work if you do, if I do, if you try me on for a proper fitting. If you yourself can see that you exist, then okay, I say, consequently, I do see so too. Turn off your cloaking device, for Christ's sake. Do you think the aliens are Jewish? That's not funny. Okay, then what? Neutrality is its own reward, isn't it? Later than does not exist before its own recall. Walking it off before the fuzz arrive. Ah, shucks,
My actual agenda will have to postpone its moon landing. I am close to my own term. The mountain between us holds a lean on impassibility. Grammatical suavity irritates the bloom. The headless ones scratch without an object. I'll not take me off my bucket list. Normal to a fishing expedition. Panther poised to pounce. Glottal stop and glottal onward. Not yet, but from now on. Exactitude cannot be known, but does it exist? Can two tunes listen together? You have to be inside the sound to hear no tune at all. Vibrating background in back of that. Oh, neonates, rue not your own umbilicus. Never bet on your own regret. Tribes of having hair removed from the dead. Who will pick up the thread when it was no thread at all, but the whole cloth quavering? Self-initiating wind stochastics. The queen's two bodies. The self is dead. Long live the self. Long live the dead. The boat you built against time so long ago, can you sail it now? Some beds are better to lie in, some too. I'd easily oblige you, but I'd have to grow another foot. Must we vanish with our polish? Correct me if I'm wrong, but what if I'm not invisible? Let not time deceive you. You shall not conquer time, writes W.H. Auden in a justly famous ballad. But time deceives you. Everywhere I see, everywhere you go. Doctor and lawyer in one fleet. I'm so tired of waking. Hand me an umbrella, won't you? Quiet meat was all I could do to compare you to. It's all connected. If you challenge that, eerie how your pocket squeaks. You can count on my attention to your every last quarter of sense data. Water off sight at the source. Four-headed Scrooge newts. Don't climb up your own tree with anyone, not even me. Imago mundi, mango chutney. All right, and then, thank you. It doesn't matter, it could stay there. Okay, this is, the last thing is called The Mind of Money and the Maze Way. One, later perhaps. The entire panoply of human intellect integrated and resolved to the eye of an exquisitely selected avian synecdoche. The crank neck of a great blue heron, its terrified machinery jetting across eyesight to the lotus pond. All the money gone again, and the maze way internal to the individual consciousness, marking out livingly the moments which the day's events selectively converge upon. Beyond that, unpleasant encounters, austerities, immobilities. Sufficient money opens the maze way. Time becomes a playground. Rappaport, I think, was the anthropologist Richard Grossinger studied with, who chose the word maze way for the living maps inside the mind that charted a culture's possibilities. I use it here for the living calendar that organizes thoughts about existence itself into worldly schemata. When you have no money, the schema crinkles. Its sights are debts, its roadways tortuous, its desiderata signs that say, you can't get there from here. Every person confabulates a maze way and tends it as actual moments rise and pass away, the living data chiseled into thought flesh. Two. If there are other living intelligential forms, perhaps they have no maze way. What then? No present-day humanity can think it. Before the organization of time by the state, did synecdotal avians soar without anxiety through the timeless advent of a Paleolithic nowness without anticipation, habitude, desire? Soar they there still, beyond the maze ways of money and anxiety, time, and the crash into consequence? If I pull down the struts from the maze way, shall I loop anxiety back to cerulean happiness? If all the money were gone, not only my money, not only everyone's, but the mind of money unhinged from the maze way. Poof. Three. Early Buddhist monastics hoarded neither salt nor coin. Versus the latter-day Chinese monastic banks that were the state of money, so the empire had to bust up the monasteries like anti-monopolists wished to break up the banks. Four. One last thought, possibly pertinent. There are certain numbers, inaccessible cardinals, the arithmologists call them, that are too big to fail. So enormous an infinity that they cannot not exist. No counterthought possible to cut them down. They loom beyond cerulean like intelligential birds beyond synecdoche, the thing itself beyond all pointing to it. And there are no living minds to work the thought of them, a chaos of inaccessible ceruleans. And the open blueness opens thereon too, the dissolution of all maze ways into the possibilities crinkled in the actual so intimately. All us birds fly free.
That was Chuck Stein reading in Tivoli, New York. The date would be March 20th, 2025. And we're going to finish off the show tonight with a recording of a transcription of a poem written by Jerome Rothenberg. Stay tuned to Radio for Open Ears. My name is Chris, and I'll catch up with you here on Poet Radio next month. Thank you. transcription of a poem by Jerome Rothenberg called The President of Desolation. That farce replaces tragedy, obscene even to think it, and yet to come into another age and find it proven true. This is the price of growing old. The progress truly of a state of mind. America the center, both of mind the gap and mindless space. Not farce, but madness from the start. The roots of tragedy embedded in a heart barely human, ready to bring us down. To which he leads us in a dream, almost as deadly as a tunnel. A mind winds through, seeing the sky ahead, but kept from it by stumbling and tumbling. Where the face of someone like a swollen clown steps forth, whose fat cheeks grow enormous while his body shrinks, until he stands before us like a tiny naked man who neither thinks nor dreams. When in the morning sun his face escapes him in the empty mirror, he must ask the sky to bring it back to him. Hapless to find his way, the rage inside him slides into his mouth, from which he vomits words and emptied sounds, being the only meme he knows. He is the cockeyed boss, the president of desolation, chin thrust forward, arms akimbo, legs astride the world, his carousel. A body without shape that shrinks and drags his mind out through his eyes, whose teeth will clatter syllables cut free. With this, the world will end and time return to endless space, not to be counted past what the fabled start was. To come. While down to earth, a fool sits on a throne, a king by his own counting, wrapped in gold. The ground beneath him, also gold. The buckle on his belt, even the belt itself, the buttons on his shirt, all gold. Gold is his heart, the rumble in his gut, gold's essence blowing golden farts, and on his golden briefs, a stain of gold. Gold. for which all women flock to him. All men bow down. His ring is gold, and held against your cheek leaves gold behind. Not truly gold, but closer than that, to make his suitors pause, his dross turn golden in their sight. How loyal little men become, losing all thoughts of sacrifice, and the martyr for the common good. In acts of cruelty, the past comes back to life, never more true than when he wages war against the sky. The door to heaven opens, closes, and is touched by angels crowd around him. Some adhere to his flesh, a burning maze, in fancy dreams of God and power, with an eye that turns through those below his notice or regard. The world is his mirror, fragile hands hiding his face and eyes. Too safe and blind, he will not see you now, or me, outside his dreams. He stalks his shadow and his only love, the voice returning when he dies, only to call his name out to the world at large. He trumpets it until his tongue can bear no more. The lump inside his throat grows daily like a broken pump. He's caught up in plots of mud, cold clumps adhering to his flesh, his plump hands pushing them aside. He's like vagrant babes swarming around him, drunk on visions of himself. He sucks them up and down his maw, let out his grump until he dumps them soundless on the ground. The clown of cruelty, mad fantasies, an empty vessel, blind as any fool. We're down a hole he digs for us. I'm digging. Pit where pity drops away, letting the dead stay dead, or raising images too cruel by far. The scorn of frail man spews into the air until the world around him bursts with voices calling back, repeating endlessly the words he'd chosen, trolling, finding the hidden hole his fingers sat and swollen, open in his mouth, and raises one frail arm in vain salute.